Okay. So first I wanted to deal with a small issue, but I do think that the conceptual implications for some of the things we have been talking about are important. And that is the timing issues, two timing issues specifically. One is, the Gemara says that outside of Yerushalayim, so in the time when they brought the Karban Omer, it was usher to bring to eat the new grain until Chatzot. And by Chatzot, you were allowed to
eat it.
Very good. Why? Because the assumption that Eid Bet Din Mit Atzlimbo, that the court is not going to be lazy, and therefore by Chatzot Ayom, you can be sure that they're done. So one thing I want to do is talk about Chatzot. The second timing issue I want to deal with is, what is Heir Panei Mizrach? Maybe I should do it the other way. Though we've talked about that a little bit, right? When, which sunrise, is it really sunrise, is it dawn, or something else? So there are some halachot where day is dawn and some where it's sunrise. And which one is it here? And then I want to talk about the takana. Those are the three issues I have left that I want to talk about in this sugya before I move to the halachah lemaisa issues of chadash and chutzlar and chadash owned by a guy. Well, I mean that sugya, which is obviously the most lemaisa, but we have to finish this first, okay? So I want to deal with those with the two timing issues first, okay? So maybe we should start with number two here, with the timing issue of sunrise. So if you look at the Sfat Emet argues, based on Rashi, Rashi says that Heir Panei Mizrach is sunrise. Neitz, ha-neitz. I don't know why I do neitz. Ha-neitz ha-chama. Right? So that was what I gave you here in two. It appears Rashi, ha-neitz ha-chama, ava gavzul chomakom omar ha-shachar yamamahu. Says even though, in general, day is amud ha-shachar, is dawn, he says, why is it that when it comes to chadash, the relevant day break is sunrise? So what does he say? Because, what's the source here? The source isn't yom. The Svarimah argues like this. When you have a halacha which is related to day, because it's a day halacha, so then the time is dawn. But here, it never says day. What does it say? Ar etzem hayom hazeh. Ar etzem hayom hazeh. Which is the quintessential part of the day, the essence of the day, the strength of the day, otzem of the day. So therefore, what our Emmet argues is Rechadosh Yerla Rashi came in to chdiv etzem ayomu hu aneitz hachama. So he argues that is neitz hachama. So his argument is simply that here the standard is different. We're not talking. No, well, because you've been out at dawn. At dawn, is it light yet? Right, so you could have argued later in a chanami, right? You could have said once you're making a diuk in etzem, so maybe you would have thought that not only is it sunrise, but maybe after the chatzot or something. You're right, you could have done that. But his argument is that once Rashi says that it's sunrise, we have to assume that it's because he's mechadesh that it is not the normal definition of day, which is amud ha-shachar. The only reason he can think of for this is because of Etzem Hayom Hazeh. Now, the Aruch HaNer, argues based on Rashi and Daf Hey, that ad etzem hayom hazeh, the Targum translates as ad bichron, which is the riyad hayom. And the way he understands it is that basically the phrase is, right, etzem is until like you can really see the light, and it's ad v'ad v'chal, that basically it becomes morning from dawn until sunrise. And here you do ad v'ad v'chal, so that has to be the end of that that period. Okay? That is his. Now there are some achronim who argue that this is not really true, that maybe it really is more from dawn. But anyways, that's Vademe, that's the Aruch Laner. And if you look, I gave you the Grizz. And he asked the question as well. Sarach Ian, the Mechomakom Toli Baluda Shachar. But the Grizz says you could argue and say that Rashi is wrong, that maybe Metzam Yom Hazeh just means not night, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to wait until sunrise. Okay, that's just a small issue. The second timing issue that I want to discuss briefly is this Chatzot question. Right, so if you look, and this is an interesting point. Which chatzot is it? So if I asked you, which chatzot should you wait until, what would you say? What? Yeah, the one in the middle of the day. Where? So you would have thought Yerushalayim. Right? Because the issue is about bringing the karban. Right? So if you look... So if you look at the Rambam says, "V'bnei sheyodin she'ein beidin mitzadlin." But v'nichni omer shezichem lishmon chatzisa yom Yerushalayim. Kote yom eitelan sheyotom makom. The Rambam says exactly. That's exactly what it is, right? Chatzot is defined by Yerushalayim. V'visha efshar yeh l'vnei chen o acharei chen v'yodeya. Devar ze b'yedian orech haratzot v'visha mevartem eitel atom. So the if you look at the Karen Ora says that's true for Chatzot, but what is it not true for? Right, but what does he say it's not true for? Chatzot is almost definitely going to be the Chatzot Yom Yerushalayim, because what you need is the karban, right? Yeah. But what about Harpin and Mizrach? So that's a bigger shayla, because Harpin and Mizrach, right? What about in the places right where there's no karban? Being Harpin and Mizrach, then what do you say? Is it Yerushalayim or not? So remember we talked about it. We said why would you say Harpin and Mizrach? There's two ways to say it. One is that it's mamish the day. Right, it's just that when there's no karban, you just wait until the day. Then what would you say? You wait until morning wherever you are. But if you say that, why do you wait until the 16th? Because what? Right, but if you say, let me at least get this point out, and then we'll take it down. But what do you say? Right, so that's... Well, what about what about Harpin and Mizrach? So if you think that the reason Harpin and Mizrach is matir, so then what? So it might be, you think it's just a din of the yom, so it might be wherever you are, right? Just like Shabbos starts wherever you are, and Sukkot starts wherever you are, whatever. But if you think that, why is Harpin and Mizrach matir? Not because the 16th is matir, but because the yom hanef is matir, right? The day on which you could bring the omer, so then you might argue that what? Because then you might say that it's not the 16th, it's the rising, it's the potential of bringing the Omer in Yerushalayim that's Matir. Right? So if you look at the Karen Ora addresses this point. And the Karen Ora says, V'nir dozim ezeh kol echa lefi mekomo. Ki'ich leman ha'retzim kula yom ha'mash m'rashari b'urta shesay nagi devzor, v'lo matzinu shetuch l'dak v'abor yom Yerushalayim dafka, v'al kol echa lefi mekomo. Chanami man ha'er mizrach matir kim lefi mekomo. So he said, when it comes to sunrise, he thinks that pashtus is. While it comes to chatzot, misvara, you have to wait to Yerushalayim, because that's just when are you sure they brought the karban. When it comes to Harpin and Mizrach, he thinks that Harpin and Mizrach is wherever you are, because it's in the yom. Right? But if you wanted to push back on it, you would say that it's not a din in the 16th, it's a din in the Yom Hanef, the day that you're going to wave the Omer, in which case you could have argued that even that would be totally in Yerushalayim, which I think would be a Kiddush, right? Not impossible. Okay. Yeah. For which one? Chatzos? I mean, Chatzos is clearly Beis Yerushalayim, but that's because Chatzos Yerushalayim is what time do you think they brought the karpa?
I mean, even the
sunrise. Yeah. The sunrise, I don't think. I think that'd be a Kiddush. Right? I think Pashas is like the Karen Ora. Right? That's my guess. But you could argue not that way. Right, you could. You
want to say it. It's difficult to say that the pasuk means one of them is in your life, the other one is.
No, because they're different. They're functioning in different ways, right? Because the reason you wait the chatzot is only in a time when you have the Beit HaMikdash and you need to wait till bringing the Omer. So then, the reason you wait the chatzot is not magical. Chatzot, right, if you live closer, it's whenever they bring the karban. Right? Now, the one interesting question that the Mepharshim bring up is, what happens if they brought the Omer, but you're living in a place where the sun hasn't risen yet?
So the last number is...
Right? Meaning... Right, you're behind Yerushalayim time. So they brought the Omer, but you haven't. Right, so then that's already an interesting question. Right, because remember, if you think that when there's a Mikdash, the only thing that's Matir is the Omer, you would say that it's Mutter, even when it's still dark by you. It's not even the 16th by Yom yet. Right? But if you think that you need both, Heir Ben HaMizrach and the Omer, right, and the Iker Matir is Heir Ben HaMizrach, so then you would assume that if the Karen Omer is right, you have to wait till sunrise by you, even if they already brought the Omer. Right? Right? Okay. Fine. Those were just a little bit of timing issues. The next thing I wanted to talk about was the... Oh, okay, sorry. And that was actually the next source I gave you. And this is this Chashuke Chemer, okay? I gave you this Chashuke Chemer. Zilberstein, he says the following shayla. Says, how could you come up with a case that you'd be allowed to eat Chadash before sunrise? So he says, well, Nemar Mesech Menachot, Mishikara Omer Utar Chadash Miyad, Rachokim Utar Mechatzarim Lalon, Mipnei Ma Rachokim Ugarim Mechatzor Ayom Lalon, Mipnei Shein Yodin Shein Medim Azambo, Pecha Rambam, etc. So he says, "Klomar b'makoder chokim lo ochim lefishot hachatzot shotu makom lefishot chatzot Yerushalayim." Right? That's what the Rambam says. When it comes to chatzot, you go Yerushalayim. V'lachein in b'shat chatzot Yerushalayim, b'shat yesh sheish b'boker b'makom zayim b'chutz laret chadashim u'der bechila kevin sheizer chadash toli b'avad omer v'omer kvar hukra v'zman Yerushalayim b'chadash u'ter b'chol olam. Look at the Karen Ora, she's done the money of Matir, so Zinu Kamakam Lafi Amur Shachashot Amakam, as I already said. And then he says, look at the rocket shover. Shabir Chidush Rambam, Shahavamina came to Chatzot Utakan Chachamim. He said, what was the Havamina not like the Rambam? Because you might have thought Chatzot was a Takana, a formal Takana. Right? That's what the Rambam is coming to tell you is not true. Chatzot is just when we assume that the carbon's already been brought. But you might have had a havamina. He says, "In gain, if I get a shatagan, I'm chomakom as in the fees man chatzot shabbat the makom. Come on, shalom sharambam. But there are Yerushalayim. But see in Shami Yerushalmi b'damai. Like we're machoket Rebbe ver Lazar, ver Shimon, Gai Peru demai, etc. And then he says, but look at the Minchas Chinuch, who asked, but the Gemara says, ulama gazer b'yochum zag shem kol asur chotz ayam lan tishtrei. Right, the Minchas Chinuch says, according to this, maybe the reason that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, you might have said neither Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was Asr all days, because not everybody knows time differences so well. And he gives a different answer. But then he says, maybe not. Right? Right? And so that's his suffix at the end. Is you really could take this two ways, right? Because you could say that according to everyone, once the Omer is brought, right, so it's mutter. Or you could say, no, you need Omer plus Heir Pnei Mizrach. Right? In which case it would be Asur, you need both. And again, this might come down to how do you understand. Is the Omer Matir by itself? Is it the Omer plus Eir B'nei HaMizrach, like the Shagas Aryeh? And I think it might also come down to whether you think you need Eir B'nei HaMizrach of Yerushalayim or your place. Everyone seems to assume that it's the Eir B'nei HaMizrach of your place, right? But again, if you wanted to define it as Yom HaNeif, so I think another way of answering this question would say no. Maybe it depends on Eir B'nei HaMizrach plus Avaz Omer of Yerushalayim. Again, that would be a big chiddush, but it's not, I guess, a theoretical impossibility. That doesn't seem to be the assumption of the poskim, because it is pretty mechudash as things go. Okay, do you want to take a minute to take that? Actually, no, you'd have to go through. You have to go through Chaim Moser. It's not. It's not worth interrupting his shiur also. Okay, so now let us move to the takana. Okay. So this gzera, I gave you. I see that I gave you a lot of sources, but you really don't have to read through all of them. And I didn't even have to tell you don't read through all of them because I didn't expect you to.
A lot of sources. What a surprise!
You're never gonna win.
Fine. So when it comes to this gzera, if you skip down to the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, this Gemara appears almost identically in three places: our Gemara in Menachot, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, in the context of the gzera regarding blowing the shofar outside Yerushalayim, and in Sukkah regarding the Takana of Yochanan Zakkai to take the lulav for 7 days after the Churban Abayit in outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so if you want to just refresh your memory, the one thing that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah adds, but I'll read through it quickly. It'll give us Chazara. Rishona yulav nitel b'mikdash shiva medina yom echad. Right, so originally the lulav was carried 1 day in the mikdash and 7 days. 7 days in the mikdash and 1 day outside. Mishkar beit hamikdash hikam riyachman zakah sheyehei lulav nital mimedina sheva zechal mikdash v'shehei yomaneif kulo astra. So the Gemara says uminolan dav dina zechal mikdash. How do you know this? We don't have an argamara that you're chayev to make zechal mikdash. That's an obligation. Damar kra ki alercha. It's from the end of the pasuk, and no one was Doresh Yerushalayim. So the Gemara derives Michal Dabai Drisha. From here, you learn that it's a problem not to be seeking out Yerushalayim, which shows you that it needs someone to seek it out. That is a value. And then, if you remember, this is exactly our sugya. My time of Yerushalayim made a mikdash. Ramu shtakim milo achalnu. Meheir pnei Mizrach, achshav nami nechol v'lo yodud yishtaket loya omer yer Mizrach hitir ashtik omer matir, etc. Right, the same sugya as we have by us. So now, if you look at Rashi, there are some questions on the nature of this takana. Right, so remember, the takana is basically that. Why is it that you have to wait all day? So the Gemara says, because, you know, let's read the Gemara one more time. Let's read through it. So the Gemara says, why do we have the Gzeira all day? Because we're worried that you're going to get confused. The Gemara says, why don't you wait until Chatzos? So, because it went to the Beis HaMikdash, going to be rebuilt, they're going to have to be worried. If it's built on the 16th, Harei Hei or Mizrach Matir. If it's brought, right, if the Beis HaMikdash is built after the 16th, then what happens? Sunrise was already Matir it. El Divni B'Chamisar. It must be that it was built on the 15th, which means that the Chiyuv HaOmer already kicks in, and that's the problem. But he says, Lishteri. It should be much different from Chatzos. Again, let me make sure. Is it a bit confusing? Let's try it, right? So the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that when we always forbid the entire day on the 16th, Migzera, right? According to the understanding of the Gemara, that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, fundamentally becomes Mutter, Meheir Pnei Mizrach on the 16th, the Omer delays the Isser. So when there's no Beis HaMikdash, because we're worried the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built next year, we forbid the whole day, because otherwise you'll think that you were allowed to build it, sorry, that you were allowed to eat from sunrise just like you did last year. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why do you have to wait all day? Why don't you wait until? Do you not only have to wait until Chatzot? Because let's say the Beis HaMikdash is built. So then they're going to bring the Omer. So when's it going to become Mutter? By Chatzot, because by Chatzot you can bring the carbon. So the Gemara says, well, let's play it out. When is the Beit HaMikdash built? If the Beit HaMikdash, you only start building it in the morning on the 16th. Good. This is why I wanted to do this. So get very briefly. right? So then what? If you're going to build it in the morning on the 16th, so then once the sun rose, it was already mutter. So do you have to wait till the Omer? One second. Do you have to wait till the Omer? No. What if it was built on the 15th? So then? Yes, but when should you bring the Omer? You'll have brought the Omer by Chatzot. So on what day would it be? Right? What is the scenario in which you would bring the Omer and have to wait until the end of the day? Right? Either you don't have to wait at all because the Beit HaMikdash wasn't built until after sunrise, or you're going to bring the Omer, in which case you'll have brought it by Chatzot. So why would Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai have to make a gzeira not to eat till the end of the day if we say that whenever you bring the Omer, there's never a case of bringing the Omer until after Chatzot? Now, Daniel's already thinking what Rashi wants to deal with is how exactly did you build the Beit HaMikdash that fast?
Started building it.
Oh, very good. So, well...
And also, at what point are you chayav to bring the karban? Meaning, it has to be fully completed and then you bring it, or...
Good, so let's see. That's exactly why I said I want to talk about the Gzeira for a minute. Because what is this? The Gemara says... So, lo nisrcha de'ivni b'chamisar samuch l'shkiyaz achama. So, the Gemara gives two possibilities. One is that it was built on the 15th, right before sunset, inami ivni belelia, or was built at night. What?
Is this like their goal to finish at this specific day?
So that's when Mashiach came. I don't know. So look at Rashi. Rashi is as confused as you are, right? And Rashi is like, what is going on here? So Rashi says, lo tzicha de ivni samach l'shkiyat achama, the chamisar ivni belelia. Why is that a solution? Right? The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai needs to make his gzeira for two scenarios. Where you build right next to sunset, right? Or you built it at night. So Rashi says, Rabbi Yochanan choshesh, l'shema yibaneh l'shkiyah rachama, o b'leil shisha azar b'chatzi alayla, o samach levakro, shlo yeshuhut l'ktirato v'yivuvo b'aviv, sheklam d'chav ha'gadov ha'gavad ha'chatzot, v'yam regile l'meichal chodesh m'chatzot ha'yom b'zbanezeh, ha'od l'meichal yom ha'achi. V'av de'yisura. Rashi says, what's the problem? If you start building right before sunset on the right or in the middle of the night, so you're going to be chayv to bring the Omer, but it's going to take it a little bit of extra time to finish building the whole Beit HaMikdash, go and cut some grain, and bring the Omer. So even though normally we say that the Beit Din does not delay bringing it Pet Chatzot, in that one extenuating circumstance, that you're building the Beit HaMikdash at night, you might be delayed a few hours, and for that, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai makes it that it's usher the whole day. That's Rashi's solution. So then Rashi says, but wait a second, that only solves building it samach l'shkiyah. But there's a problem. It's usher to build at night. So how could the Gemara even say building at night? The Gemara in Shavuot says, De'ein Beit HaMikdash lo b'yom tovo b'layla. Because the Gemara says that in Shavuot, Daftet Vavam and Beis, that's a sugya in itself. So Rashi answers, Hani mili binyan bide adam, avo binyan ha'atid lavo bide shamayimi. So this is Rashi's solution.
Oh, God's not the sun.
No, God drops the Beit HaMikdash from heaven down.
Oh, right. That's where they get it from.
Oh, very good. Oh. That's why I wanted to do this. I thought you'd like it. Right, so Rashi says, Rashi constructs the entire Gzeira as follows. We're worried that God might drop the Beit HaMikdash out of heaven in the middle of the night because you're not allowed to build the Beit HaMikdash at night. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's entire Gzeira is for one scenario. It's where the Beit HaMikdash, either you built it somewhat right before Shkia and didn't have time to get everything done, or God dropped the Beit HaMikdash out of heaven at 2 in the morning on the 16th, and by time you realize the Beit HaMikdash crashed out of heaven and said, oh my, and your first thought in your mind was not, oh my God, the Beit HaMikdash fell out of heaven. It was, oh my God, we have to bring the Omer in the morning. Let's go find someone with a sickle to go cut some grain. By the time you manage to pull that all together, you might be delayed a few hours in bringing the Omer. For that Gzeira, for that scenario, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a Gzeira. That is how Rashi.
If it's healthy that on Tisha B'Av, you can see the base of Megas in the sky.
Okay, very, very nice, yeah. Great. So this is Rashi's solution to this sugya, and the Ritva says the same thing.
So point being, the
Rashi says the same thing in Sukkah, Ritva says the same in Sukkah. So several Rishonim, this is the Gzeira. Right, so if you want another Gzeira, what?
Does anyone take Rashi seriously?
this. Rashi says it multiple. Ritva takes it. Many Rishonim say this.
Yes.
Yes, it's a fascinating sugya. What? Oh, right, I'm sorry, but the last part of this, the whole thing, just remember, the part of what Rashi has to posit, wait, Daniel, so not only does you have to posit that Bein HaMikdash can be dropped out of heaven, but you have to assume that it'll be, that, right, what else do you have to assume? Right, and you have to assume that the Isser building Bein HaMikdash at night doesn't apply to God. Right, that's the other assumption. Okay, good. Fine, that's Rashi. The Meiri doesn't say this because the Meiri is a rationalist, and you could see how the Meiri might be like, I'm not so on board in this. So how does the Meiri say, well, what's the reason for the Gzeira? Because again, the problem is you need to explain, according to the Gemara, how is it that you need to, what is the circumstance under which you need to forbid it until nightfall and not Chatzos?
They finish building it, Beirash Masra.
So that was the first day. So the Meiri says as follows. The Meiri says, look at Meiri. He says, V'ayir min kamocha, b'nyam b'nyam b'nyamikdash, enedol chashavad v'yom tov, v'chein chen b'nyam b'nyamikdash b'layla, d'chtiv v'yom ha'ke b'nyamish gan. He says, I don't understand. You're not allowed to build at night, and you're not allowed to build on yom tov. Im kein ma, sh'nemar b'sugi zut, d'ivnim b'chamisar, v'aray yom tov. He says, I don't understand either case. Right? Meaning, sorry, Rashi has to solve two problems. He's saying, the Gemara says there are two possibilities. Either it's built samach l'shkiyah on the 15th or at night. What's the problem? Both of those are usur. Why is it usur to build the Beit HaMikdash on the 15th? That's Pesach, man. It's called Pesach. It's the first day of Yontif. Right? It's Chag. Right? And at night, you're not allowed to do it at night. So Rashi's solution is that either God is going to build it on the first day of Pesach or God is going to build it on night. And God isn't limited. God can build on Yontif and God can build at night.
Yeah, why would he do that? Why would he do it if it means you have to jeopardize doing the...
No, it's just it's going to delay your Omer. It's not jeopardizing. It'll take a few extra hours. You become Zoche to the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Punkt. Seder night. So God drops it out of heaven just then. Okay? Kachaza. That's what it is.
What a boss.
Watch that happen.
Good. Okay, that's Rashi. Meiri.
So for those that go on a temple
mount tour. So Meiri says, Imgen ma nemar besugi zudivni v'chamisa v'arei yom tov. V'chein ibn malayla v'chal la'amida v'arei nirei yachet. So he says, I don't understand. You can't build it on Yontif. And night, okay, maybe the machlok is about night. I don't know. But he says, Oshemach chashash lebezim toim. He says, here's my solution.
Maybe it's not really night. What's his solution? Because we have lights.
No, see, here's his solution. This is Miri's solution is rationalist, but is also mind-boggling. And he says, you know what it's worried about? Yohan Zaka is worried that Beit Din toim, the Beit Din at the time of Mashiach, we'll make a mistake in the halacha, and you're right, it's usher to build on Yontif, and it's usher to build at night. What Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was worried about is that the Beit Din in the time of the Beit HaMikdash are going to be Amaratzim.
That's just as ridiculous from the complete opposite side.
Yes. So, like I said, you have two problems. The Rashi, you have to swallow Beit Din, the Beit HaMikdash falling into heaven. Rashi, Rabbi Meiri, you have to swallow in possibility one, that the Rabbi Yochanan, again, I want you to spell it out. The Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai said, we set up a gzeira that you can't bring, that you can't eat until sunset, because we're worried that the Beit Din in time of Mashiach is not going to know halacha well enough to know that you're not allowed to build the Beit HaMikdash on Yontif or at night. Mimela, that they will be, but they do know that you're supposed to bring the Omer. Right? It's a Beit Din who's knowledgeable enough that you know to bring the Omer, but not knowledgeable enough to know Shavuos Tezvav and know that you're not allowed to build on Yontif or at night. So they're going to build the Beit HaMikdash B'Isser, and that's going to, but they're going to remember to bring the Omer, but they're going to be delayed in bringing the Omer until closer to sunset on the 16th going to the 17th, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, for that eventuality, you have to wait until sunset. That is what the Meiri wants you to believe is the purpose of this Dera in answer one. That's first. Ugdole.
It's easier to say that.
So then he says, Ugdole Rabbanim Pershua Mitochach Shem Yivanavel Enes. And he says, because of this, right, because of everything he just said, that's why Rashi didn't say that. And Rashi said, it must be it fell from heaven. Right? Meaning, he says, right, these are the two options you got. Meiri in Sukkah, it says, So in the Iri and Sugga says slightly differently, and he says, why would they make a mistake? Not because they're Amaraksim, but because they chibar HaKodesh Meviatan Lakach. That they're so wrapped up in the love of the Beit HaMikdash that they're going to forget the Halacha temporarily. And that's what you're concerned about. Those are the two things. Only slightly better. I don't know if I have a good answer for you.
I think it's better than saying they just don't know the Halacha or that they fell out of
Okay. I don't know what to tell you. But those are the 2.5 options that you have to explain the very strange.
You might think that the Beit HaMikdash that you can build it now trumps all other Halacha.
Well,
or make that mistake. I don't think that's
so that could be what Miri's saying in his first answer, that you just make that mistake.
That makes sense.
Okay. Anyways, I there's no like lumdus here that I can possibly explain to you. I just wanted to spell out what is the rationale of this Xera.
Now I know where that rationale is. Because I've been people we've talked about
it. Yep. Now, Toso says, so Toso tries to defend it and says maybe it doesn't mean on the 15th, it means going into the 15th. And therefore, it's an Erev Yontif, and that's what it's talking about. But in the end, the Tosfos also concludes, like Rashi, that what we must be talking about is...
To be fair, is
the Beit HaMikdash falling out of heaven. What?
The Beit HaMikdash should probably take over a year to build. So...
So the Kapot Marim just notes. So Tosfos gives two answers, guys. Tosfos says either we're talking about a case where you build it on the 15th, right? The 14th going into the 15th, or it drops out of heaven. The Kapot Marim just says, what's his suffake? Yeah. Why does Tosfos give two possibilities, right? Tosfos gives yet another possibility. Maybe what it means is it's going to be built.
Because he doesn't want to say it fell out of heaven.
So you could have just said, right. So that. I would have said maybe he's just misupik about whether it's going to fall out of heaven. The Kapot Marim says no. He's misupik about whether God has the same limitations as human beings and whether God is allowed to build a Beit HaMikdash at night. Yeah.
Is that considered building?
I don't know. I didn't make it up. This is hard for me to swallow also. What do you want?
No.
Anyways.
The question isn't God making it. The question is, place it considered an act of building.
So, now if you look at... So, if you look at 8, I gave you just a little bit of a summary from some of the Achronim from Rabbi Yashiv, and I gave you from the Daf HaDaf. So, Rabbi Yashiv says, well, there's other possibilities, right? First of all, it could mean that not that you built on the 15th, right? But that by the time you got to the 15th, you finished right before then. Right? That's what he's saying. Right? Going to your process thing, right? So far, everyone else is assumed it's built right away. He says, no, maybe it's saying you just finished the finishing touches by then or something like that. And you're just...
to say that God stopped the sun again, and then once you finished, you
I don't know.
Go, and then it instantly came and something.
He said there's another possibility, which is to note... He says, there is another possibility, which is to note that the Minchas Chinuch says that if you did build the Beit HaMikdash at night, it's kosher b'diavad.
Well, can we do that sugya? Is that there, right? So there, but like,
what?
Not building at night, or is it?
It's a sugya and shuas.
Yeah, can we do it?
I guess. So he says, what it could be also is... So then Rabbi Yashiv gives a fourth possibility. He says, you know what, I have a solution. He says, some of the Achronim imply that the only thing that can't be done at night is Gemar Binyan Beit HaMikdash, like the last, the finish. Yeah, the Makavadish. So he says, I have a better solution. You know what the Gemara means? And this is probably the most rationalist solution. Is you built it,
yeah.
And then when it says evening balayla, it doesn't mean that you built the whole thing at night. What it means is you were building through the night, and like as the sun rose on the 16th, you finished it, and that's why you're rushing. Right? Meaning you've been building it through the night to get the finishing touches. As soon as the sun rises, you put the halachic makabit patish. And once you did that, you were delayed in what? You were delayed in getting the new grain because you were building Beit HaMikdash all night. And once you say that he says, once you think that the Isser to build at night is only to finish it at night, so you could be working on it for weeks, months, who cares? The point is that you didn't get to the finishing touches until right in the morning. And that's why you're busy, and that's why it's going to take you extra time to get the Omer together.
No, you would put the finishing touch you'd put on by Aloha Shachar, and by Hanets you'd already have your...
Or whatever. But he says that's another possibility. Honestly, if you want a solution that solves all the problems we've been talking about, Rabbi Yashiv is the one who gives it to you, right? Where he just says, you finished it at the morning, and that's what it is. I don't know how long it took you. It took you days or weeks, who knows? And then he notes it really isn't achron. It isn't machlokas achronim whether it is ma'akev at night b'diavad. Okay, I gave you a bunch of summaries in the achronim here from the daf al daf, so I'll summarize some of them outside. So now this gets even stranger because he says, right, one of the Achron, the Marsham says, I don't understand. How can you even bring the Omer? First you need to be Mechanechet. If you're Mechanechet, you need to bring the Tamid, right? And some of the Rishonim say that you can't bring a Karban Tamid unless you prepare the Tamid for a few days in advance, 4 days in advance. Just like with the Pesach, right? You need to make sure it doesn't have a mum, etc. So, how could, even if the Beit HaMikdash fell out of heaven, you wouldn't be able to use the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach isn't halachically ready, because you haven't brought the Omer. So he says... So what does he say? Maybe when the Beit HaMikdash is built by heaven, Michael will come from Shemayim and also bring the Karban Tamid, solve your problem. Because once you're believing, you know, once you're saying that that's what it is, so you might as well be Mosif Chiddush ala al Chiddush.
Anything else coming out of this
paragraph? Rain is coming out. So now the Lubavitcher Rebbe suggests that maybe there's a middle position, that maybe what Hashem will do, what it means is that it'll be both. The walls of the Beit HaMikdash will emerge from the land, right? Tavu Be'er Shara, because they sunk in, and then people will put the Makah Patish on it, so it'll be both man and human being. And that's really what's going on. Maybe it isn't two possibilities, it's one possibility.
Even if the walls do come out, you still got to build the rest of it.
Okay.
That's not...
I don't know. I'm just telling you what he says.
I mean, if God's going to go that far, bring the walls out of the ground, he might as well just build the whole thing.
Okay, a few other points about the Takana. Okay? From Rabbi Yashiv, because I thought he had a lot of interesting points. I just want to run through them with you outside, okay? Okay, maybe we'll give another share on this, but let me just try to get some issues here. A few other haros. So first of all, Rabbi Yashiv says, why is it that there was no such takana like this between the first and the second Beit HaMikdash? Why after the second Beit HaMikdash do you find all these takanot in general Zechel HaMikdash? So he argues reasonably that it's because the first Beit HaMikdash, there was a nevuah that the Chorban, the Galut would be done in 70 years. The second Beit HaMikdash, it's a very long time with no end in sight, which is why we had to be so proactive in making Zerot post the Chorban to make sure that we remembered the Beit HaMikdash. So that's one point.
Prophesied
Yeah, but no one knows what that means.
Because he was wrong.
Okay, should we go inside?
Remember this. Oh, wait.
Should we? Or wait, should we?
Finish his shear.
What?
Gets finished his shear.
Oh.
He left her.
Yeah. If you go through some of the acronym I gave you, you'll see some other interesting points. I'll run through a few of them that I thought were interesting. One thing which I saw in several acronym is, why is it that Reuchem and Zakkai both made the takana of the sukkah, right? That and the takana of Yom HaNeif. What? No, I'm still finishing. Sure, I'll do two afterwards. And it just started raining outside. And the takana of the Omer. So what he suggests is the following: is that the sukkah gzera, right? Remember we said the sukkah gzera. We've talked about this. Seems to say that Reuchem and Zakkai is saying, "Oh, life goes on post Beit HaMikdash." Right? It used to be that you only took the lulav for 7 days in the Beit HaMikdash, and now you do it everywhere because we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, so continue
what does
life.
That only in the Beit HaMikdash.
That every other, that outside the Beit HaMikdash, you only took the lulav on day one.
Like regular people.
Yeah. But nowadays we take it all 7 days. What several of the acronyms suggesting, remember, the Grizz says it is in one place, is maybe that these two actually function together, which I think is a nice idea. Because saying that, well, now you take lulav outside, emphasizes the Beit HaMikdash is not here, you have to move on. This day of Reuchem and Zakkai, that you have to not eat the new grain the whole day because the Beit HaMikdash might be rebuilt tomorrow, says that even if it's true that life goes on without the Beit HaMikdash, that doesn't mean we don't hope for the Beit HaMikdash to be rebuilt right away. So there's actually a link that you need these two types of gzeirot to both say life moves on, but we don't give up on the Beit HaMikdash, which is, I think, an interesting point. There is a bit of a discussion in these Acharnim also is, are we really talking about the Beit HaMikdash being rebuilt, or are we talking specifically about the Mizbeach?
I have a finish. Maybe Zakkai was being big brain, and by making that Xera, he had to force Rashi to say that he's going to fall out of the sky.
Anyway, so like I said, there are a lot of different points that come up here. Now there are other the Karen Ora just gives a much more pshat answer for Karen for Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, which is the following: that once the Beit HaMikdash didn't exist, now he just needed to make a takana that was shavel chol nefesh, right? That everyone would understand. So what did he do? He didn't want everyone to try to figure out what's chatzot in Yerushalayim, whatever. He just said, okay, let's just asa the whole day, right? It's just, you know, you do the whole day because it's... Right, and maybe that's really what's going on, right? That maybe really what's going on is just to make it easier because of all the potential confusions. Okay, so those are just some thoughts on the Gzeira. There are a lot of other thoughts we could do on the Gzeira. But I think that's all I really want to do on the Gzeira and the timing. So actually, I didn't realize we'd get through it now. So that means we can already start the next sugya on... are we clear? Is everything that's Gemara? Or are you ready to move on to Chadash and Chutz Laretz and those sugyas? Okay, so we'll move on to that. That's fine. Good. So after you on Tuesday.